knowing the truth about us. So what I want to do today is I want to do a quick review of what we've covered the last couple of Sundays. This is one last attempt to make sure we can drive this information home. And then I want to visit a very important topic as we conclude. So we've been talking about image. All of us have a way that we want others to see us. There isn't a person in this room, the preacher included, who isn't concerned about how other people view us, how other people think about us, and what we want other people to assume to be true. And so we all, at times, either all the time or throughout seasons in our lives, we will create an image for other people's approval. I don't care if you're 87 or if you're 17. Most of us place an enormous amount of value in having the right image. And the images that are very popular, is any number of these on the list, you might see one that seems most familiar to you. The image we project for others to see is created for this particular reason, to hide the truth about what we don't want others to know. That's the whole danger of image, is that we're hiding the truth from people in our lives because there's things about ourselves that we don't like, that we're embarrassed about, that we don't think will be acceptable or approved of other people, and so we create the mask to hide behind. And so we have reality, this is what we know to be true about ourselves, but we create a different image, and the gap between these two is enormously important to understand what it's really all about. And as we saw in week number one, it's all about deceit. It's essentially, living a life of image, creating a facade and wearing a mask is really all about living a lie. And what I want all of us to understand is that God never designed our soul to live in that kind of environment. God never designed us to live a lie. And so when we choose to live a lie, then we live with sort of these sorts of experiences. We feel a lot of guilt and shame and frustration and regret and fear. And this becomes our existence if we continue to create an image that's very different than our reality. But God didn't intend for us to live that way. And so what God's preference is that we would move our image closer to the reality, that we would stop pretending to be something that we're not and live life with a greater sense of honesty or authenticity. And that's how God designed our soul to thrive. And so when we live with that kind of honesty, then we can truly know something that feels like peace and joy and confidence and excitement and freedom. And that's a much healthier way to live our life. So as we saw in week number one, maintaining an image is exhausting. It's so tiring to always keep up the facade and trying to remember what image you've left with what group of people and trying to stay on top of that. Maintaining an image can be very expensive. Trying to pretend to be really wealthy, tend to be really smart, tend to be really beautiful or handsome, all of that takes a lot of money in order to maintain that image. Maintaining an image is very lonely because essentially what we do is we create a wall that keeps people out from really knowing who we are and what's really going on in our life. And so we essentially live very isolated experiences. And then maintaining an image is crippling. It actually ends up hurting the way that we go about living our life. And so last week we talked about this, that nobody is born to live their life hiding behind a mask. And yet we all do. Why? Why is it that we choose to live behind a mask? Well, it goes back to some fundamental needs that we have as human beings. And it's all agreed that we have these three great needs in our life: to be loved, to be valued by somebody, to be wanted, to be somebody who wants or craves our company. And we all have the need to want to be significant. And I'm not talking about this in a malicious way. This feel like we make some sort of contribution to the world around us, particularly within in regards to the relationships that we have. And so we all have these fundamental needs in our life. And what happens in trying to meet those needs, we will seek approval in order to be accepted by the people that we think are most valuable to us. We see it particularly, as we talked last week, we see it particularly happen about the time we start turning teenagers. And we realize, well, our parents have to love us, but there's all these people at school that I want to be accepted by, and so I have to behave in a certain way to receive their approval, and if they really knew how I really was, they wouldn't like me, they wouldn't accept me, they wouldn't approve me, so I'm going to start learning how to live behind a mask. And most of us never really deal with it in a healthy sort of way, so guess what? We just grow up, and we become adults who long for the approval and the acceptance of those around us, and we'll put on a mask and we'll play the part in order to be accepted by the group that has the most value to us. In our desire to be embraced by those whose acceptance we crave, we adapt our behavior. That's the putting on the mask, that's assuming the image. We adapt our behavior to win their approval. And God is saying to us over and over and over again, you don't have to live like that. You really, really don't. And God has one thing that he offers every person on planet Earth to take care of the fear of having to live behind a mask, and that is grace. If we could just understand God's enormous, eternal kindness toward us in our mess, in our brokenness, in our dysfunction, in all of those patterns of behavior that complicate our life, God still loves us. God still wants us. God still thinks we're significant, and therefore we have his approval and we have his acceptance. So as we concluded last week, God's grace cannot be seen from behind a mask. Every time we try to live behind the facade, we are covering up the beauty of God's grace. Every time we don our mask, we hide the truth about ourselves. We cover up the beauty of God's outrageous grace bestowed on us through Christ. So here's where I want to go today. Never make the mistake of living for the approval of anybody at the neglect of enjoying the acceptance of the one who matters the most. Do you understand what that says? You can spend your life going after the approval of your neighbors. You can spend your life going after the approval of those people in your industry, going after the approval of your friends that you grew up and went to college with. Or you could understand that the one person in the entire universe who matters the most already approves of you, already accepts you, is eternally in love with you, and you're a part of who and what he's all about. So here's the deal, and it comes back to this so often. Every one of us has a choice. Who are you going to live for? Whose acceptance are you going to crave the most? Whose approval are you going to run after? It can be your friends. It can be everybody at work. It can be that circle of people that you want to break into and be a part of. Or you can understand that the God of the universe has already bestowed on you in his grace everything that you need as a human being, everything that I need as a person to feel important and validated and loved. The choice is ours. What are we going to run after? So here's a couple things I want us to know. God's opinion of you matters more than anybody else's. Let's think about it. There's a day coming when this earth will pass away and every one of us will stand before the God of the universe and give an account of our lives, and our entire eternity is determined by our relationship with him. There is nobody, there's no group in all of life that will ever be more important than understanding that God's approval is the most important approval that I'll ever pursue in my life. Secondly, the integrity of authenticity is a wiser way to live than the facade of deception. Folks, what I want for all of us is to understand there's right ways to live and there's wrong ways to live. And what I mean by that is there's healthy ways to live and there's unhealthy ways to live. There's productive ways to live and there are destructive ways to live. There's positive ways to live and there's negative ways to live. And what I'm trying to help us understand is that when we pursue authenticity, when we pursue a life that's more honest about who we are, that's always going to be a better way to live. Because what's the alternative? To consistently, every day, live a lie in the fear that you're somehow going to be found out. So what God wants us to understand, life will just be better for you if you drop the mask and learn to value the integrity that's wrapped up in authenticity. And then thirdly, the freedom of grace. The freedom of grace is better than the bondage of image. What I want for you, what I want for me, is to truly grasp this amazing truth that God's grace covers our life. That when you and I enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's grace is abundantly poured out on us, and our mess and our brokenness and our dysfunction and those hurtful patterns of life that we've adopted and adapted along the way, all of that is sufficiently forgiven and covered in the grace that's available to us through Christ. And again, we have a choice. Do I want to live in that kind of grace, or do I want to continue to be in bondage to the facade of a mask, trying to compete for people's approval and affirmation and living within the rat race and the exhausting life that it takes in order to maintain an image? That's our choice. So, I have to make one caution, however. When people start hearing about the freedom and the permission of grace that God loves us in spite of our brokenness and our mess. Some people, nobody at this church, I'm talking about like other churches in town, other people will take that as permission that I can just do as I please, I can live as I want, I don't ever really have to address any of my shortcomings, I can just be who and what I am because after all, there's grace. So let me just say one word of caution. There is nothing about authenticity, being honest about who you really are. There's nothing about authenticity, and there's nothing about grace, this unlimited kindness of God in our brokenness. There's nothing about authenticity and grace that gives anybody permission to be insensitive to others or to be indifferent to change. Does that make sense? There's nothing about the message of grace that says, just stay the way you are. God will always love you. It's not permission to stay the same. It's really the power to begin change. That what grace is all about is to say, I know the brokenness and I know the dysfunction and I know those patterns of life that have created hardships, but let's, in my grace, let's begin to pursue different and better ways of living. And my grace will be sufficient for as many times as you're going to drop the ball and mess up again. But my grace is going to help encourage you to move forward. And so we can't just go around saying, well, you have to accept me just the way I am. Because there's grace, and I'm just trying to be authentic, so I'm a jerk, but I'm just trying to be honest to myself. And then we say, yes, I will accept you in your brokenness and your dysfunction, as I hope you will accept me in mine. However, I do not need to tolerate your disrespect or abuse if in your arrogance, your stubbornness, I'm not going to change. If in your arrogance, your stubbornness, you refuse to make an attempt at learning better ways to live. Did you follow that? So grace is inviting us to change, to learn better, healthier ways to live. Grace is inviting us to take off our mask and learn to live with greater authenticity, knowing that it's all covered in the work of Jesus Christ when he died on our behalf. So we have a choice. I keep coming back to that. We have a choice. We can live the image of a facade, or we can choose a different image. And it's the image that we were created to live. We read about it from the earliest pages of the scripture. You read about it in Genesis chapter 1 when God's creating the first human beings. And God said, let us make mankind in our what? image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. In other words, God's saying, let us make mankind in our image so that they can thrive and function in the role and responsibility that I give them as human beings. In other words, so they can live healthy, prosperous sorts of existence. So God created mankind in his own, it's right there, in his own image, in the image, just in case you've missed what the topic is, in his image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So here we are at the very beginning of life on earth for human beings. And God's saying, what do you say we create human beings with the image of God in them? Men will have the image of God in them, and women will have the image of God in them. In fact, they'll both equally share a reflection of God's image in them. It's the way that we were designed to live. The word image simply means likeness. That there's a certain aspect of who we are as human beings that was created to be a reflection of what God is like. Now, it's a great big discussion. We're not going to get into it this morning about what it means to be created in the image of God. Let's just keep it simple for our discussion's sake. To be created in the image of God is that we were created with the potential and the power to reflect certain truths about who God is and what he's like. So I'm not eternal. I don't exist as a spirit form. I'm not omniscient or omnipotent. These things are only true of God. But there are ways that I can reflect the image of God to others. There's just one nagging problem. Want to know what it is? It's called sin. You see, the story of the Bible educates us the fact that while we were created in the image of God to reflect him and the essence of who he is, unfortunately, because of sin, that image has been marred and distorted and broken, and so we don't always live our lives as a wonderful reflection of the image of God in us, except for one place in our life where that is different. And that is the moment that we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and we invite him to become the Lord or the leader of our life, then Jesus Christ in his grace begins this transforming work of once again allowing the image of God to shine brighter in our lives. So we read things like this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. So the scriptures are establishing that this image of God was best seen in the person of Christ. And then we as Christians, we're given a challenge to follow Christ. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to his purpose, good and bad. God is at work to accomplish a higher purpose in life. For those he foreknew, he determined in advance the steps of their lives to do what? That God was working in our lives to help us become conformed to the, what? The image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Here's what the scriptures are teaching us. We were created in the image of God. Unfortunately, sin has distorted that image. But when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith, through the grace of Christ, God begins a work in our life to remove that which hides the best reflection of God in us. And so that's why we receive these sorts of instructions. Be imitators of God. Reflect God as children often reflect their parents. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. As you and I begin the journey of following Jesus Christ, we are beginning a journey toward becoming better reflections of God because we become better reflections of Jesus. So let me just kind of take all of that, a lot of information. kind of distill it. We can make a choice to pursue an image that's designed to hide the truth about who we really are. And it's exhausting, and it's expensive, and it's lonely, and it's crippling. We were never designed to live behind a mask. But we can if we want. Or we can find a different way to live, and it begins with coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior, our rescuer, the one who comes in and says, hey, Paul, forget the mask. Quit with the facade. There's a better way to live. What if your image was a better reflection of who you really are, and you lived within the safety of God's grace, and you could just be who you are, how you are, and know the power of God's grace to make change? So as we accept Christ into our lives and we begin the pursuit of learning more about the way that Christ asked us to live, then we become a reflection of that image of God that was created in us, because we begin to behave like Jesus Christ in his love, in his grace, in his forgiveness, in his kindness, and in his safety of who he was. When we begin to live our lives that way, we don't need a mask. We are living out a reflection of Jesus in our life, who is the perfect embodiment of everything that God intended for you and I as human beings. So here's three things I want to leave you with. Every one of us needs. Every one of us needs to be encouraged to pursue authenticity in the safety of God's grace. In other words, every day, your alarm clock goes off, you get showered and shaved, and you head out the door, and most of us, if we're honest, the minute we leave that door, we put on our mask and we start pretending, keeping up the appearance that we think will be acceptable and approved by other people. And somewhere in our lives, we need some places where somebody's saying, you don't need to live like that. That's not a healthy way to live. There's something better, and it's called God's grace, and all of us need to be encouraged to pursue authenticity. And I'm going to say to you that this church can become a part of that encouragement. That every Sunday that we gather here as a congregation, or we gather in a variety of settings, in small groups and Bible studies and other occasions that bring us together, we're saying, it's okay here. You're safe. Don't need to pretend. Go ahead, drop the mask. Let's just all be real with each other about the truth that's going on in our lives, so that we can help each other and we can encourage one another and we can pray for one another and we continue together to validate authenticity is the better way to live. Folks, the one place on planet Earth where it ought to be safe to be ourselves, it should be church. It should be church. Unfortunately, it isn't always church. Because if we're not careful, church can also become just another place where we put on a mask and we start pretending like we have it all together and we got it all figured out and we never drop the ball and we just hide from each other. Let's not let that happen at Cibolo Creek. Let this church be the kind of place where it is safe to truly celebrate the amazing grace of God and that we can just be ourselves. The second thing that everybody needs is we need a few friends in our lives with whom we can be completely authentic. Now, this is important. I want to just reassure some of you who are going, so how many people do I have to tell about the truth about what's going on in my life? Does everybody need to know? Does church mean I have to start vomiting out all of this ugly stuff about my life to everybody and anybody? And I'm going to tell you, no. That wouldn't be pretty. And most churches aren't equipped for that sort of full disclosure. So here's what I'm saying. Every one of us needs a small circle of friends where we can feel safe in the grace of the group to be honest about what's really going on in our life. And so I'm going to ask us all the question, and don't answer out loud. Do you, right now, have a small circle of friends in your life with whom you can be completely honest and receive the grace that's available to you through Christ? Don't tell me about a group of friends you had 30 years ago. Don't tell me about a group of friends that live four states away. What I'm interested in is, do you have right here locally and currently a group of friends with whom you can be completely honest? Because the truth of the matter is, every one of us needs a group like that. We need it in order for our soul to thrive. So once again, your church is trying to help. And that's the entire intent, or part of the intent, of our community groups. That people would get into smaller circles of relationship with enough regularity that over time we can begin to open up the truth about our lives, take off our mask, and with a small group of people in our life, we can be honest about what's really going on so that we can be there to help each other and to pray for each other and to encourage each other that even in the midst of our mess, there's plenty of grace to go around. So if you're not in a community group and you don't have a circle of friends somewhere else, we're here to try to help you with finding a group like that. Please don't hesitate to ask. Last thing, and I'll let you go. Everybody needs the confidence of knowing that living an authentic life is the healthiest way to live, even when everybody around you refuses to live that way. If there's any one thing that I want most for you to understand, is that it's healthier for you to live a life of authenticity. And you may go to work surrounded by people who wear masks. And you may live in a neighborhood surrounded by people who wear masks. You may go to church with a group of people surrounding you who wear masks. And I'm going to say to you, don't play the game. Don't follow along. Don't join in. It's better, it's healthier, it's more profitable to our soul and ourself to live lives of authenticity, understanding that in God's amazing grace, we are already approved and accepted by the one person in the universe who matters the most. And that will always be a better way to live. Fair enough? Something to think about. I hope you have found this series to be helpful, if just for that, to get you thinking about the honest truth about how we're living our lives in relationship to the grace that's available to us through Christ. Let me ask you to stand together, and let me pray for you. Our Father in heaven, we just stand here in the honesty of who we really are and what we know about ourselves. Right here in the privacy of our own head and hearts, we know the truth. And we're going to say thank you for your outrageous grace. That there isn't anything that we've done, anything that we're doing, anything that we've done a million times that is beyond your love and your acceptance and your approval of us as your sons and your daughters. God, I ask that you would begin a work in each of our lives, a work of courage that would give us the permission to start taking off our mask, to stop pretending to come out from behind the facade, and to live in the safety and the freedom of what it is to be in a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that all of our brokenness is forgiven. God, I pray that you begin a work through groups in our church for greater authenticity with one another. God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who provides for our brokenness and our mess and our dysfunction, and in his grace begins the recovery work of restoring the beauty of your image in us. God, I pray that all of us, rather than living behind a mask, would become wonderful reflections of your image in us. And I pray and ask this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, gang, have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.